so sweet and so wonderful that this morning we can be together in this place, and also to those who are at home, to just worship our great, wonderful and loving God. And thank you very much to the music team and to all the PA people for your services this morning that enable us all to have this time together in worship to our God. I have entitled the message for today, Enabled by the Holy Spirit, looking in Acts chapter 2 and also other verses. It is possible that perhaps there are some of us who may feel that we are not that enabled. Instead of being enabled and powerful, we may feel instead downtrodden and locked up, bound, depressed, crushed, helpless, hopeless. It's possible that some brothers and sisters may actually be feeling really down and really bad. Now, why is it so? Because we all know that right now in Malaysia, even in Penang, and even in all the world, there is a lot of problems. There are lots of problems. And last week, Pastor Jeremiah had been giving us the statistics and the current situations of the COVID-19 and of all kinds of issues that are around us. And it may not only be these external problems that are pressing upon us, many of us may also be having internal issues, maybe with our health, with our emotions, with our mind. And indeed, in the world today, right now in the world today, there are lots and lots of suffering, lots of pain, lots of problems, and lots of challenges. So we may feel very weak and very helpless and very hopeless. But today, we want to look into this matter and see whether we who believe in Jesus actually should feel like that. If we are believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, is it possible that we are not this kind of people? So let us be encouraged by the word of God today. And before we move any further, let us come to Him in prayer again. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to open your word. We know that you are an amazing and all-powerful and a sovereign God. But Lord, it is also very possible that many times, because of our weakness and our sinfulness, we lost sight of your greatness and your power, and we feel so weak. And therefore today, O Lord, we pray that from your word, you will show us who we are, and encourage us and touch us so that we will be empowered by you, empowered by your Holy Spirit, to live a victorious life. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Okay, can I have a next slide? Yeah. Now, through the Holy Spirit, we are, among many things, these few things that I have here in the slide. Up here. We all know very, very well that as we read from the Bible, that we are called sons and daughters of the Most High God. We know that. But are we behaving like sons and daughters of God? And in Ephesians, it tells us that we are actually seated in the heavenlies. Our position is with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. And Isaiah chapter 40 tells us that as we wait upon the Lord and hope in the Lord, we can soar like eagles. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, are you soaring like eagles? And that we are a royal priesthood. We are royal priests. And we are more than conquerors. Romans chapter 8. And many other places in the Bible, it tells us that we are a powerful people. We are sons and daughters of the mighty, mighty God. And because of this, if we really believe this and really live this out, we should not be caged and bound and be people of hopelessness and helplessness and people with no power. No matter what is happening, we are not enslaved. We will never be in despair. And we will rise above the storm and we can fly and soar like eagles because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is in us to enable us and to empower us. And therefore, no matter what is happening outside and inside, the purpose of God will still run its course in our lives, in our families, and in our church. And we will be able to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, our actions, our behavior will be changed. We will be more than conquerors. Our minds will be different because we have the mind of Christ. Our thinking is different. Even though in the world, people are thinking in a way that is hopeless and helpless. And we will have power to transform and to change not only ourselves, but also the people around us, especially our family members and our church and even our community. Now, all this sounds so good, but is it real? Is it really real in my life and in your life? We want to take a look at the disciples of Jesus Christ before the Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost, and then what happened to them during and after Pentecost. Now, this should be a very familiar story to most of us, but let us revisit this story again. Can I have the next slide, please? Now, I have here three passages that tells us about the disciples before they received the Holy Spirit, and especially when and after Jesus was arrested at the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 56, we find that when Jesus was arrested that night at the garden, the disciples deserted him and they fled, they ran like crazy. Now, they have been with Jesus for 3 years already, and they have seen how fantastic Jesus was and the power that he had. But that night, when Jesus was arrested by the guards of the high priest, they probably have in mind that, oh, even though we have seen Jesus being so powerful, now he is being arrested. And they probably have the thinking that he could be put to death. And therefore, they were filled with fear. And instead of being with Jesus and giving him whatever support they could, they ran away from Jesus with great fear, ran for their lives. But Peter followed to the courtyards of the high priest. And after a while, somebody, a girl, looked at him and said, "This man was with Jesus." This is found in Luke chapter 22. But Peter denied it and said, "Woman, I don't know him." A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are also one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." And just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, "You will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly." Now, if you are Peter, you remember that Jesus has said that you will deny me 3 times, but you say, "No, Lord, I will never deny you." But at this moment, maybe he didn't quite know what was happening to him, but he was indeed so scared. And he had found himself wanting nothing to do with this Jesus, saying that he did not know Jesus and he was not with Jesus. So that was Peter. Now in John chapter 20 verse 19, this was an occasion on Sunday, the third day after Jesus died, and Jesus had already resurrected from the dead. And some people, including some disciples, have been to the empty tomb and even have seen Jesus. But that night, that evening, when the disciples were together, what did they do? They locked the door securely. Jesus already resurrected, but still they were very frightened because it was a very dangerous situation. And they were still very fearful, feeling very helpless perhaps, and feeling very powerless. Now, how about us? Maybe because of the situations around us, because of the external forces and even internal forces, could it be possible that we are also very frightened, we are very fearful, and we feel that we do not have much hope, we feel that we do not have much power? Now we look at, during the day of Pentecost, something happened. Can I have the next slide? During Pentecost, something amazing happened. And of course, we know that the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2 verse 4, it says, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Or in many of your translations, it says, as the Spirit gave them the ability to utter tongues. So the Holy Spirit came upon them, filled them, and when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they experienced an amazing power and enabling. And in verse 14 of the same chapter, we find Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice, and he addressed the crowds. Peter did 3 things here. First of all, he stood up. Now, all the while, Peter had been hiding. He never dared to stand up. But now, when the Holy Spirit came upon him, somehow he experienced an enabling and a courage and a power that caused him to stand up even in the midst of hundreds and thousands of people, including the Jews around him. He stood up. And he raised his voice. He was not fearful. All the while, in the last couple of days, he had been very quiet. And he denied Jesus. And at this moment, because of the enabling of the Holy Spirit, he not only stood up, but he raised his voice. And he addressed the crowds. He spoke to the crowds. And he connected with the people, and he talked to them, and he spoke to them, and he told them about Jesus. Now, maybe some of you know that I came from a very small village. I was born in a very small place. And I was born in a family that was very poor, and I was the eldest son of 7 children. And so I came from a very small background and a very poor background. And growing up, I didn't really feel too much about myself. I felt that I was very weak and I was not very courageous. I was a very quiet boy and you would not see me speaking out in front of people. I did not have the courage and I did not know how. But when I became a believer of Jesus and asked Jesus to come into my life at the age of 17, I really sensed the Spirit of God coming upon me and giving me an enabling and an
and a power that I have never experienced before. Very quickly after I received Jesus Christ, within a few months, I find myself standing up in front of people. I find myself raising my voice, and I find myself addressing the people and telling people about Jesus Christ. Transform. Change. Completely a different person. And if any of my classmates would come to church and see me, they probably would be shocked that this boy has now become such a courageous boy and can speak to people because he used to be so shy and quiet. And this is definitely the work of the Spirit in my life and in your life and in the life of Peter. So Peter was having an enabling and an empowering that come from the Holy Spirit. And when Peter spoke forth, when people stood up and raised his voice and speak forth, somehow, as enabled by the Holy Spirit, when people listened, somehow there was an amazing response. Not because of Peter, but because it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 41 that those who heard him, many accepted his message. Somehow the message convicted people, and people accepted this message, and they were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. No, I haven't seen this happening, all right? 3,000 people one day, all right, coming to Jesus and believing in him and being baptized. Now, I have seen similar instances, but not thousands, all right? Yeah. So, it was a tremendous response to Peter's message because this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the response is not just like this, all right? There are further responses. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 and 47, in the same chapter, you find that the people not only believed in Jesus and were baptized, but they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and they had everything in common, together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, and the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. Now somehow, with the disciples speaking forth the word of God, and people responding to the preaching of the disciples, as enabled by the Holy Spirit, not only the people responded by believing in Jesus, but they responded by having great transformation in their lives. They were eager for the word of God. They were eager to pray. They were earnest in worshiping God and praising him. And they were so joyful in coming together in fellowship. And God was working in the midst with wonders and signs. And people were willing to sell what they have to share with other people who did not have. And therefore, there was great blessing from one to another. They were able to bless one another with sincere hearts. It is really coming from inside, from a transformed inside. And all this is for the glory of God, praising God. And people continue to be added into their number, added into the church. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I would say that this has also been happening in our church. The Holy Spirit has been working in our church, and it is so amazing to find many brothers and sisters in our church who are now having sincere hearts and who are having hearts that desire to pray, desire to study the Word of God, and who experiences blessings from one another and experiencing changes and signs and wonders in their lives. And we continue to find people once in a while, not hundreds and thousands at one day, but we do find people once in a while coming to know Jesus in our community, in our family. So to a certain degree, we do see that the Spirit of God is working in our midst and working in our lives. But I wonder whether we have been limiting God by not being fully plunging ourselves into the flow and the working of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it is possible that because of the situations around us, because of the problems around us, because of our own problems, we feel that we have been limited and we have been trodden down, and we do feel a little bit maybe helpless and hopeless, and we are not really exercising our faith and our action in believing that we are powerful sons and daughters of the Most High. But in the early church, because of the work of the Holy Spirit among the disciples, we find all these powerful works being established. And in chapter 3 of Acts, we find Peter and John healing a cripple. But then in chapter 4, we find trouble coming into the church because Peter and John were arrested by the Jewish authorities, and they were being put into prison that night. And the next day, they were being brought before them. And after questioning them, the authorities, the Jewish authorities, said in verse 18 and 20, when they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus, but Peter and John replied, which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Now, if you are Peter, if you are John, I wonder whether you and I will have this kind of courage, all right? We are being arrested because we have been talking about Jesus, and we are being told, you better don't talk anymore about Jesus. Last night we were in prison, all right? You talk some more, you'll be put in prison further, and we could even kill you, all right? Would you have this courage of Peter and John? But Peter and John had this courage. Where did the courage come from? The Holy Spirit. Peter and John say, we cannot help it. We cannot listen to you. We have to listen to God because we believe that this is what God is telling us to do. And this is what God wants us to do. So we cannot stop speaking about Jesus. And from here on, throughout the whole book of Acts, all right, in the book of Acts, from this time onward, even to the end of the book, to the last chapter, we find that the disciples were facing difficult situations, challenges, and persecutions, and restrictions, and lockdown. They have been put into prison. They have been beaten. They have even been put to death. There were many martyrs in those early days for the gospel. But in spite of all this, they cannot be locked down. They cannot be restricted. They will not be in despair. They will not be helpless. They will not be hopeless. They have the power. They have the courage. Brothers and sisters, do we have similar courage and power? No matter what is happening in the world today, with the virus, with the political situations, with the economical situations, with the situations in the country and in our state and in our community, are we locked down? Are we chained? Are we down there in the mud? Or do we find that we actually have the power to break out and to fly and to soar like eagles and be transformed and changed in our thinking and in our behavior, And not only ourselves, but changing our families, our church, and even our community. Now, I wonder how many of us can say that, yeah, because I have Jesus in my heart, because I have the Holy Spirit in me, because I have the enabling of the Spirit in me, not only am I changed, but I am actually able to bring transformation to my family. Now, let us not talk about the church first. Let us talk about our family. Have our family been affected, impacted, and influenced by us? And especially to those of us who are men, who are husbands, and who are fathers, have we been able to bring holiness, goodness, love, and strength, and edification to our wives and to our children? Because we have a transformation in us, and an enabling in us, a power in us. So, as sons and daughters of the Most High, we do have a power inside us that change our thinking and our behavior, and that will change others around us. And that because of us, our surrounding, our colleagues, and our church, and our care groups will be transformed, will be changed from glory unto glory. Now, I thank God that in Fellowship Baptist Church, we have some key leaders who are very godly people. Now, suppose among our key leaders, one of them is truly filled with the Holy Spirit and truly enabled and empowered by the Spirit every day. What do you think will happen? Do you think it will not affect us? Do you think it will not bring changes to the church? But suppose all of our key leaders are people filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, and enabled by the Holy Spirit. Wow, what will happen? Do you think that there will not be impact in our midst because we have such leaders? But suppose all of our leaders, the leaders of all the care groups, the cell groups, the leaders of all the various ministries, are people full of the Holy Spirit. What is going to happen? Fellowship Baptist Church does have the Holy Spirit. I can see that. But have we been limiting the Holy Spirit because we have not truly believed, and because we have been affected by our surroundings and our situations outside and inside? The world needs to see people filled with the Holy Spirit. Our children need to see father and mother filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to see the reality of people filled with the Holy Spirit, enabled by the Spirit, because such people will be more than conquerors. Such people will soar like eagles. Such people will be seated in the heavenlies because of the Holy Spirit. We all know Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Actually, early on, we sang a song that I can do all things through Him who strengthened me. Now, this verse is often quoted out of context. Many people say, yeah, I can do anything, I can do everything. No, it doesn't mean that you can do anything and everything. It doesn't mean that you can go to the top of a building and jump down and you will not die, right? No, the context of this verse, let us look at verse 12. It says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. Now, this is to say that, yeah, I may not be having plenty. I may even be hungry, and I may even be in prison. Because the writer, when he was writing this, Paul was in prison.
I may be locked down, but yet I can be contented, I can be happy, I can be praising the Lord, and I can still serve the Lord in writing letters, in encouraging people. I will not be locked down. I may be in need, but in Jesus, I find a new power and a new enabling inside me. Let us turn to another passage, a fantastic passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. Here it tells us that I am a jar of clay. Now all of us here are jars of clay. We are very fragile people. Our body are very weak. It can fall down. It can break. Our emotions sometimes are also very weak, right? We can get disturbed, perhaps very easily to some of us. Our mind can also be very weak. We don't have the faith. We don't believe sometimes. We are jars of clay, weak people. And I know I am a weak person. But the thing is that it is not about this jar. It's not about you. It's not about me. It is about the treasure that is in the jar. And what is this treasure? This treasure is the Holy Spirit. Inside me is the Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit in this earthen jar, the all-surpassing power of God can be manifested. Not only just power, but all-surpassing power. Even though you may be in prison, like Paul, even though you may be locked down, but the surpassing power of God inside us cannot be locked down. And therefore, even though we are hard-pressed on every side, we will not be crushed. Even though we are perplexed, you may not understand everything, but we are not people of despair. Even though we are persecuted, we are not abandoned. Even though we are struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry in our body the death of Jesus. Because there is a lot of pain, there is a lot of suffering, there's a lot of difficulties around us and inside us. We are carrying death, and many times because of Jesus, we are suffering. But even though we are carrying the death of Jesus, the life of Jesus is also manifested and revealed in our body. Can people see Jesus shining from your face and from your heart? And from my face and from my heart? Even though we are groaning, even though we are restricted in a lot of ways, but yet the life of Jesus is manifested. And our wives, our husband, our neighbors, our children, our care group members can see that Jesus is alive in your life and in my life. Isn't that amazing? Are we such people? Are we such people? Can I see some of you nodding your heads? Are you such a person? Some of us may be saying, okay, maybe I'm not, you know. Because I do feel very disappointed. I do feel very discouraged. Or, you know, things are happening in my family. You know, then somebody died. And what's more, you know, dying during this time of the CMCO. And then I heard another bad news about another member of my family. And I can't do this, I can't do that. Maybe I lost my job. I am in despair. Well, it is true. It is possible that sometimes because the wind is too great and the storm is too severe, we find ourselves sinking. It happens. You look at all the spiritual giants in the Bible and in church history, you do find that even though they are spiritual giants, they do mighty acts, God used them greatly, but their can be times in which they fall. Now, Peter was actually an amazing man. One day he saw Jesus walking on the water, and he said to Jesus, "Jesus, so good to see you walking on water. Can you ask me to come and walk in the water also?" Beside Peter, I'm not sure whether I remember any other people walking in the water or on the water. I'm not talking about Jesus, right? Humans, right? Beside Jesus. But Peter was such a man, you know, and he got this enabling that allowed him to walk on water, you see. But even though he was able to walk on water, somehow at a moment, the wind and the waves overwhelmed him, and he discovered that he was sinking. So this is real. It happens to us. Yeah, we know that we are more than conquerors. We sit in the heavenlies. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. But yet sometimes we are down there in the mud. But we can learn from Peter. The moment Peter realized that he was sinking, he shifted his attention from the wind and the waves back to Jesus again. And he stretched forth his hand to Jesus and said, "Jesus, Lord, help me, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out and raised him up, and he could walk on the water again. The secret is not that we will never fall. The secret is that when we fall, we should as quickly as possible focus back again to Jesus, reach out to him as quickly as possible. Don't wait for another day. Don't wait for another week. Don't wait for another month. And don't wait for another year. If possible, within minutes, maybe even within seconds, when we discover that we are falling and we are sinking, turn back to Jesus again. Reach out to him. And you know what happened? We will find the arms of Jesus around us. And Jesus will remind us again that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And what will happen? We will find strength, and faith will come back to us again. May I have the last slide? The Holy Spirit is with us always. The Spirit of God is inside us. He is the one that has already caused us to be transformed, to be a new creation, a new creature. And he will always be with us. Therefore, let us believe and let us be enabled by the Spirit of God. Even though there are challenges and pain and suffering and difficulties all around us, we need to believe in this, and not only believe, we need to behave as sons and daughters of the Most High God. I want to give a testimony at this point. In 1973, I was just maybe 18 years old. Together with 21 other young people around the same age, we were on the road from Sanakan in Sabah to Kota Kinabalu for a statewide Christian youth camp. And we were on two Land Rovers, and I was on the leading Land Rover, and high up on the mountain where we can see Mount Kinabalu like that already, all right? No need to look up. Like that already can see the Mount Kinabalu. We met an accident. The Land Rover that I was in plunged down the mountain for about 100 feet. The other campers, when they heard this, they were so discouraged. They were so sad. And 11 of us were in that Land Rover. We were all taken to the hospital. And one after another, we were admitted. And we have to stay the night, and many of them have to stay weeks and even months. But some of us were released that night itself, and some were the following day, and we went and joined the youth camp. And in the youth camp, we were a bunch of people all bandaged up, you know, and people look at us with pity and sorrow and say, "Why, God, why this happened?" On the last day of the camp, this group of people, including me from Sanakan, we went out to the front, we sang unto the Lord, and I was the one who gave the word of God. And as we sang, young people, broken young people, as we sang and as we preached the word of God, a tremendous thing happened. The Holy Spirit came upon us with such power that everyone in the camp who had been all the while been discouraged and, you know, wondering what was happening, were filled with awe and wonder. And almost everyone were crying. And many, many came forward to confess their sins and to rededicate their lives to Jesus. And these people went back to the different churches. And of course, we went back to our own church in Sanakan. And this is written in a book written by Pastor Evans. He recorded that at the beginning of the year, this happened in April 1973. Am I right? 1973, April. And during the time, our young people were about 20 people. But at the end of the year, our young people increased to 120 people. There was a revival in the church, and there was a revival in also the other churches where the young people went back. And the revival spread to other churches in other denominations. Now, recently, Pastor J.R.'s, she sent a recording of a revival in Pakalalan that happened in November 1973. And I asked Jess, "Do you know that early on in April, there was a revival that came from us, spread to the people, spread to other denominations? Do you think that this revival at Pakalalan has something to do with this?" And she said, "I think it is connected. We may be having an accident. We may be all bandaged up. But as we allow the Spirit to work in us, the Spirit of God can work wonders, can work miracles." Now, of course, it doesn't happen like this all the time. But in small ways, the Spirit of God can also use you and use me in small ways to bring impact, influence, transformation, and changes first to our family and then to the people around us and also to our church and community. And I believe that many of us have again and again experienced this just because we say some words, but as guided by the Spirit. Just because we reach out and touch somebody on the shoulder because it is guided by the Spirit. And just because we say a prayer, but it is guided by the Spirit of God. Just because we give a gift. Just because we stood up and spoke and prayed and ministered, we find people being encouraged. We find people being revived. We find people being saved. And I have seen this happening in my life and in many people's life again and again and again. It is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Now, as I say, I don't see myself as being that fantastic, that wonderful, but I did see certain wonderful things happening in my life all these years, and it is the work of God. And now I'm getting old already. I retire from the seminary this January. And now I'm only doing voluntary work in the seminary. And I was wondering, okay, now retire already, okay, what to do lah. But amazing, Amazingly, at the beginning of this year, a church in Johor Bahru extended an invitation to me to be their pastor. I said, okay, I'll pray about this, all right? And then a few months later, another church in KL extended an invitation to me to be the senior pastor. And then just recently, a few weeks ago, one of the leading church in Kuala Lumpur, out of the blue, called me and say that they have discussed and they have decided that they want to extend an invitation to me to be the lead pastor. And interestingly, they say, Pastor Chin, you don't need to do a lot of things. Let the young pastor do, right? What you need to do is just to mentor the pastors. I was really, really tempted. Wow, this sounds so good, all right? No need to do a lot of things. Just mentor the young pastor. This is what I really would love to do. And I was thinking, why is it that I'm having all this invitation? And I was thinking that it must be because people believe that the Holy Spirit is still in me. And as I move in the leading of the Spirit, I can use by God to bring about blessings and changes and influence and transformations to the lives of people. By the way, I haven't said yes to any of these churches. In fact, I said no to them. I said no already. Actually, Fettisburg Baptist Church recently, through the leadership, they say, Pastor Chin, all right, or they said, I don't know what they say. I said Thomas, because some people call me Thomas, some people call Pastor, some people call me Dr. Chin. They say, Pastor Chin or Thomas, we would like to officially want to recognize you as our pastor mentor. Wow, I received officially the invitation to be the pastor mentor of Fettisburg Baptist Church. I say no to all these churches, but Fettisburg Baptist Church, I say yes. But as a pastor mentor, I don't need to do a lot of things. You know, just sit back, and when there is a need, and as the Spirit will direct me, just say one word or two words, just put my hand on the shoulder. I think that's all right? Don't expect too much from me. But as the Lord is going to lead, I will want to obey the Lord and let Him enable me and use me. May not necessarily be big ways, but small ways. Would you also allow the Spirit of God to use you in big ways or small ways to bring about influences, changes, and transformation to your family members, to your cell group, to your church, or even to one person that the Lord is directing you to touch? Will you do that? Will you believe? Let nothing that is happening around us restrict you, lock you down, and crush you. We will fly above the storm. Let's pray. Father, our great and loving, mighty God, you truly, truly love us in an exceedingly great way. And we appreciate that. We thank you so much. And Father, help me and help each one of us to really keep on believing in you. And that whenever we have fallen, that we will run back to your arms as quickly as possible. Oh Lord, help none of us to remain down there in the mud. Lord, help none of us to be in despair, but that we will learn to rise above the storms and soar like eagles, not because of us, but because of you, because of your grace, because of your power, and because of your forgiveness. Oh Lord, cleanse us yet again, and may we put our faith in you. Thank you, O Lord, that you'll be with us always, even till the end of the age. We give thanks, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, let us rise with this closing song.
Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, O God, that even as your word is being spoken forth, it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish all that you have purposed for it to go forth. God, we receive your word by faith. God, we thank you for the enablement of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, that every time, Lord, that we are down and we are in despair, God, you always get our attention to look back at you, Lord. And then when we do that, Lord God, your power, your grace, your anointing will begin to flow one more time. So this morning we ask, oh God, for all of us, oh God, for those, oh God, who are experiencing this despair, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we as the body of Christ, we ask you to just open up that tap and release that fresh water of your Spirit into our souls, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we ask that, Lord, that the river, the cleansing river of Christ, oh God, Lord, the cleansing river of your Holy Spirit, oh God, the cleansing river of the Word of God will begin to flow one more time into the hearts of your people. God, thank you for this inheritance that we have in Christ, oh God. God, you said, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that you've gone to the Father because you wanted to send the Holy Spirit to us, oh God. So, God, we receive Him. Lord, we thank you for His life in our lives, oh God. But we also receive the empowering that He has given to us, Lord. So, Lord, may you take us into that adventurous journey, oh God, with your Holy Spirit, oh God, from this day forward. God, thank you for the many plans and the many things that you have in store for us individually and as well as the church. God, Lord, we know, oh God, that through this enablement of your Holy Spirit, we are able to reach the world for you, God. For you said, God, that it is not by might nor by power, but by your Holy Spirit. God, we want to do all that in your power. We don't want the work of the flesh. We want the enablement. We want the empowering of your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you and we commit all things to you. Lord, we ask that this week that our lives, oh God, will touch another life, oh God, through the empowering and enablement of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you will open doors of opportunity. Lord, that you will cause many to even pray with deep cries. We ask, oh God, that you will help us to open our mouths to speak to our neighbor, oh God, and that you will use our acts of kindness, oh God, to just extend your love and your impact to the world around us, Lord. All for the glory of your name, Lord. So, God, we thank you, God, that this week will be a victorious week. This week will be a fulfilling week. This week will be full of the enablement of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us online, and God bless you.